were lost. Somebody can join me in saying, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God that I used to be. Amen. I used to be lost. Come on, give God some more praise if you know what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. Amen. I want to just stay right there, Moriah. I'm going to pray in a minute, but I want to lift up our reading for today, found in Philippians, the 4th chapter, if you'll just stand with me. And I'll be reading verses 11 through 13. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 13. And in the NIV, it reads as follows. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Amen. Oh, gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks today. I pray and rebuke a spirit of discontent, of unhappiness. I pray, oh Father God, that you will help us unclutter our souls that we might live now in abundance because of our relationship with you. We rebuke Satan out of this sacred hour. Pray that you will minister to your people, that they might feel your presence and hear your voice and know that everything is going to be all right. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some more praise. You may be seated. Amen, amen. I want to talk this morning just for a moment on the subject of an uncluttered soul. An uncluttered soul. My brothers and sisters, we live in a time where it seems like there's no one who is really living a life of abundance. There is no one who is really living with a spirit of contentment. Everybody, many folks that I know seem to be unhappy about something. On the global scale, we are unhappy that North Korea wants to compile nuclear weapons to be like us. We are unhappy, Trump is, that Mexico won't build the wall. We are unhappy that the NRA doesn't care how many mass shootings we have. They don't want to change anything. Some of us are unhappy because we are voted Democrat when the Republicans are in charge. Some of us are unhappy because we're single. Others are unhappy in their marriage. Come on, somebody. We are living in a time of perpetual discontent. Some people right now are saying it's too hot in here. Others are saying it's too cold in here. Come on, somebody. Somebody pulled up into the church parking lot, saw somebody driving a Mercedes while they're driving a hoopty, and somebody's not happy about that. Contentment is defined in the dictionary as resting or satisfaction of the mind. Paul says this amazing thing that he has learned. Somebody say, I'm learning. Paul says, in every situation, I have learned to be content. I want you to know Paul is not penning this book of Philippians in the White House with Secret Service protection. Paul is actually in prison, some believe chained to a prisoner. And he pens these words that in every situation, I've learned to be content. Even though I'm in prison on some trumped up charges, some believe he was there because they said that he had brought a Gentile into the temple. We don't know why he's in prison, but we know it was unjust. And Paul says, even though I'm in prison, even though I'm in chains for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want somebody to know that no matter what happens to me externally, I have learned internally to learn to be content. Story is told of a 92-year-old woman who was petite and well-poised and proud. She was fully dressed every morning at 8 a.m., hair fashionably styled, makeup perfectly applied, but she was legally blind. The day that this was written, she was moving into a nursing home because her husband of 70 years had passed that made her moving into a nursing home necessary. And after many hours of waiting in the waiting room for her room, the attendant finally came and got her and told her room was finally ready. As she maneuvered her walker up on the elevator, they began to describe her room to her. It was nothing special. It was a little room. It had curtains on the window. They began to tell her about the furniture in this little room. And just like an 8-year-old boy who just received a new puppy, she said, "I love it." The attendant said, "Mrs. Jones, you haven't even seen the room." She said, "It has nothing to do with how the furniture is arranged in the room. I love it because of how I arrange the thoughts in my mind." Wow. My brothers and sisters, you are discontent. You are unhappy, not because of anything externally. It's because of your thought life, how you arrange the thoughts in your mind. You know, I know young folks won't understand this, but old folks will. Teddy Pendergrass used to sing, "You can't run from yourself. Because everywhere you go, see, there you are." Amen. If you're unhappy, you can go to Alaska, you can go to New Haven, you can go to D.C., you can go to San Francisco. If you are unhappy, so-and-so, you won't be happy, unhappy everywhere you go. Because you can't run from yourself. I don't know about you, but I hate to see a complaining Christian. You're never nothing ever right. Food too hot, food too cold. Come on, somebody. You're complaining because you don't have a job, and then when you get a job, you want to quit that because it ain't right. You're mad because you're single and mad at your husband when you meet somebody. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We need to get our thought right. I said this many years ago from Dwayne Dyer. He said that he has a statement, but it's so true. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. We need to begin to change the way we look at things. If Paul can be happy in prison in the midst of injustice, if Paul can have the weight of the gospel on his shoulder and say he's learned to be content and he's counted all joy, you can surely in this blessed country find some reason to be content. Yes, turn to your neighbor and say, "I've learned to be content." We're studying in Bible study, a Bible study lesson called Simplify. And I got this title because the other part of the title is Unclutter Your Soul. Too many of us have a cluttered soul. Too many of us are like my mama, who we had a junky attic, a junky basement. And my mother would go from garage sale to garage sale buying other folks' junk to put with her junk already. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but we got some hoarders in here. How many of y'all are hoarders, eh? When my mama got old, I rented a truck and we just loaded that junk out. Somebody say, "I want to unclutter my soul." My brothers and sisters, Paul says to us, in the book of Philippians, there are three things at least we need to do if you're going to live with an uncluttered soul, that you can find peace in this life. It's possible. Paul says the first thing that we learn in Philippians, if we're going to find peace in this life and contentment, the first thing we need to do is learn to be thankful and confident. Paul says in Philippians 1:3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. My brothers and sisters, in everything, give God thanks. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to be thankful. Be thankful for the shoes that you have. Be thankful for the clothes that you wear. Be thankful that you have an American citizenship. Be thankful that you are who you are. If you're short, be thankful that you're short. If you're tall, be thankful that you're tall. If you're a little overweight, give God some praise for your heat that you have. If you're too thin, give God some praise. Whatever situation you're in, be thankful. There's always somebody who would love your problems. There's always somebody who would want your job that you hate. Come on, somebody. There's even some folks who would love your pain because their pain is so much worse. Just tell somebody, I'm just going to be thankful. None of us get out of this world without some pain, without some disappointments, without some stuff not going right. But thank God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Deacon Smoot used to say, thank God things are as well as they are. Be thankful. I said this morning, I never understood why old folks used to say, thank God I'm clothed in my right mind. But the older I get and I go into a room and don't know what I come into the room for, I'm like, thank you, God. I remember what I forgot. I got some folks who understand what I'm saying. Be thankful. If you're going to have a spirit of content, tell God thank you. I understand getting old is not easy, but the alternative is worse. I can't run like I used to, but thank God I can limp on down the road. Be thankful. Not only does Paul say be thankful in every situation, he says be confident. Be confident that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect it until Christ comes. That is for Philippians 1:6. He says, I'm being confident of this very thing, that God who started me out on this journey is working something out in my tears, is working something out in my disappointment, is working something out in my weaknesses. You can be confident today that no matter what you're going through, God is working something out for your good. Paul tells us this morning, if we're going to be contented in this discontented world, we must give God thanks. Hold your neighbor's hand and say, I thank you for your presence this morning. Paul teaches us that if we're going to unclutter our souls, we got to get rid of this very critical spirit. We got to quit moaning and complaining about everything and just be thankful. Not only that, Paul says if we're going to be contented in this world and we're going to unclutter our souls, not only do we need to have a spirit of gratitude and not ingratitude, we need to realize that this earth is not our home. I don't care how much you amass. I don't care what your resume says. I don't care what zip code you live in. This earth is not your home. You're on a journey. Paul says we need to realize this earth is passing away. He says in Philippians 1, in verse 21, he says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We think that living, that dying is a loss. Paul says, no, no, no. The way I look at heaven, to live is Christ, but to die is gain, not a loss, because I go home to be with my Savior. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. In other words, if I'm here, I'm going to serve the Lord to your benefit. I'm going to help you grow in Christ. Yet what shall I choose? Paul didn't know if he was going to live or die in prison, but it did not matter him. He was content even though he didn't know what tomorrow held for him. I do not know. Verse 23 says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. You see, we don't want to die. Paul says, I know heaven's going to be better. I desire to be at Christ where there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more racism. There will be no more need. Which is better by far. But Paul said in verse 24, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you and your progress and joy in the faith. My brothers and sisters, we need to realize this is not our home. Turn to Philippians 3 and 20. He says, actually I'll start at 19 on this same point of this is not your home. Philippians 3, 19 says, their destiny is destruction. Talking about those who are worldly. Their God is their stomach and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. You'll never be content if your mind stays on earthly things. But he says to us, if you're going to learn to be content, verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. This is not your home. You know what the body tells us every time you ache, every time you have pain, as you get older, body tells you, just like Paul says, this body's just a tent. And as we get older, come on somebody, it begins to break down. In actuality, it's packing up. Amen. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, this earth is not my home. We need to remember to give God thank you. I thank God for Christian Tabernacle. I thank you for the love you have for me. I thank you for the love I have for you. I give God thanks. Not only that, I remember that no matter if you live to be 20, 30, 50, 60, 70, Sister Ruth says she's turning 23 on Tuesday. Amen, huh? Last Tuesday, 23. My son will be 23 on this Saturday. Amen. You know, I was thinking, but I won't say what I'm thinking. all right. Yeah. It just crossed my mind. I didn't want to make anybody embarrassed. Remember to give thanks. Remember that the earth is not your home. Remember when your birthdays are in the same month.
Yes, sir.
To get this, my son is so uncomfortable. I want us to get this, that this life is not all there is. I know it feels like it. I know we have to eat, we have to drink, we have to take care of ourselves, but this world is passing away. Y'all look so pretty. I don't know how much you paid for your church outfit, but you ain't taking that with you. All your diamond rings. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. Let's remember to give thanks. Let's remember that this earth is not our home. And then lastly, if you're going to find contentment on this side of the Jordan, you must rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm a witness. You can put your whole weight on the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says, going back to chapter 4, I am not saying this because I am in need. They had given him a gift and he was thanking them, but he was like, don't get it twisted. It's not that I needed your gift to find contentment. It's not that I needed your gift to find happiness, because Paul says, I have learned to be content whatever situation I find myself. Paul was saying, I was on the road one day and I met Jesus Christ for myself, and I've learned that he lives. I learned that all sufficiency can be found in him. I've learned that if I just put my trust in him, he'll give me his peace. He'll give me his joy. He'll give me my strength. I've learned in every situation to be content. Verse 12 says, I know what it is to be in need. Anybody know what it is to be in need? I know what it is to have plenty. Every now and again, God blesses us. You know, my mind is going crazy this morning. I started to ask somebody, who hit the lottery in here? Amen. Somebody in here hit the lottery. I don't know for how much, but I don't know. I'm going to get back. Come on, bring me back. Bring me. You know, they did a survey, and they determined that those who had won millions of dollars in the lottery, they were less happy than people with disabilities, because those who were disabilities, they were so thankful that they could use a walker to get to the room. They were so thankful that they could pick up a fork and eat. But those who hit the lottery, they had so many expectations that they weren't even happy with the money God gave them. Somebody needs to say, God, I'm thankful. Paul says, if we're going to be thankful, we must remember to give him thanks. If we're going to be thankful, we must realize the earth is not our home. If we're going to be contented, we must rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, "For I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation." Have you learned that today? Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, Paul says he's learned this, because 13 says he learned that I can do all this. That means live with much or live with plenty. I can do all this, verse 13 says in the NIV, through him who gives me strength. You can't do this on your own. Turn to John 15. If you're going to live in contentment, you must abide in Christ. This is the only way. If you are living in this world, you're never going to find happiness. You're never going to be content. Life is never going to be perfect. John 15 says, Jesus, this is the words of Jesus, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Every now and then, God needs to cut away some stuff in our lives. And when he cuts it away, I know it's painful, but he wants to make you more productive for the kingdom of God. You are already clean, verse 3 says, because of the word. Somebody say the word. I have spoken to you. So if you want to find contentment, you got to stay in God's word. Remain in me. That's how we remain in Christ, by reading his word and prayer. As I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5 says, I am the vine. We forget about the source of our joy, the source of our peace, the source of our contentment. You know what happens when branches fall off the vine? Guess what happens? They die. I am the vine. You are the branches. God is our source. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And I said this morning, we need to underline this last part. Apart from me, Jesus is saying, you can do nothing. My brothers and sisters, contentment can only be found in having a relationship with God. Very quickly, Duke University did a study on some of the things that make people unhappy. And there are 8 things that make people unhappy. And I just want you to evaluate your own life. When you leave here today, don't leave here like you entered. Murmuring, complaining, you know, about something. You know, in the winter, you too cold. In the summer, come on somebody, you too hot. In the spring, it's raining too much. In the fall, it's soon gonna be winter. Duke University did a study on peace of mind, factors that contribute to mental stability and factors that make people unhappy. I'm gonna run through them very quick. It's 8 things that they've listed that stop people from living with a spirit of contentment and being unhappy. They say, first thing, and just do your own evaluation test, the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. E. Stanley Jones used to have a study called Growing Spiritually. And I remember when I was in college, I've always adhered to this. He says, we were not made to harbor resentment. We were not made to hold stuff in. So those of you who fell out with somebody years ago and you still holding on to that stuff, you're not gonna be happy. I grew up with folks who had sisters they hadn't spoken to in the same household. You know, there's kids here, so I won't say what I want to say, but that's a darn thing. I want to be a little stronger. Y'all know what I'm saying. Let it go. Resentment keeps people unhappy. Holding a grudge for something somebody did to you many years ago. You know, I always use this example. I had my best friend I grew up with. I loaned him money 30 years ago. Never gave it back. Was buying all this gadgets. I was like, where's my money? And he stopped calling. I had to call him and say, man, it's okay. Don't give me the money back. And we'd remain friends. He'll give me the shirt off his back. He won't give me my money back, but he'll give me. But I don't care. His friendship is worth more to me than the money. Let it go. 2, not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures lead to depression. So you messed up. We all have messed up for one thing or another. Don't live in the past. Paul says in Philippians 3, he says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this, or I have already arrived at my goal, but I'm pressing on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me,
yes, sir,
and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal and the prize for which God has called me. We need to forget those things and press on towards God. Somebody say, I'm letting go. Somebody say, I'm pressing on. Number 3 is not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. There are some things we can't change. You're not going to get any taller. Come on, somebody. Your IQ is what it is. Come on, somebody. There are some things we can't change. We need to just deal with it. And you know, the wonderful thing about God, no matter what you have and what you don't have, God can use it for his glory. Trust me on that. Don't waste time and energy fighting conditions you can't change. For force yourself to stay involved with the living world. Resist temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. When you get stressed out, don't pull the blinds down and quit coming to church and say, I don't feel like talking to nobody. Maybe for a day or two, but not for months on months. I don't want to be bothered. Older you get, that becomes a saying. I don't want to be bothered. You're bringing yourself to a place of depression. 5, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. Quit having a pity party. Get up and press on. 6, cultivate old-fashioned virtues, love and humor and compassion and loyalty. Continue to love, continue to trust, continue to laugh, and continue to say, God, I'm so satisfied. 7, do not expect too much of yourself. When there is a wide gap between self-expectation and ability to meet the goals you have set, feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. In other words, I think I'm pretty smart, but I could not be a doctor. Come on, somebody. And that don't hurt me to say that. Jackie's saying amen. That's a wife, amen. I didn't hear one amen, but I heard that one. I can't be a doctor. Could never be a rocket scientist. But that's all right. That's all of us have limitations, and I'm good with that. 8, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest on any test for measuring happiness. In other words, stop thinking so much about creating your own happiness. Stop thinking about the world revolves around you. Find something bigger than yourself. Go feed the homeless. Go clothe the naked. Go serve in the church. Quit thinking that your world is all there is. Me, myself, and I. My brothers and sisters, God wants you to find contentment. And some of you need to remember to give God thanks. Remember, somebody say it again, say thank you, God. Remember to recognize this earth is not your home. You're just passing through. And then rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I can do all this. That means find contentment through Christ who strengthens me. So abide in him. There's a poem that sums up my message today. And I don't know who the author is, but many of you will resonate with this poem because you're never quite happy. It goes like this. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days of the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted. To be mature and sophisticated. I was now middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind without limitations. Finally, my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. My brothers and sisters, it's not what happens to you externally that will bring you contentment or happiness. It's how you arrange the thoughts in your mind if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Remember to be thankful in good times and in bad times. Remember that you're just passing through. This earth is not your home. And rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And say, no matter if you're up or you're down, whether it's raining or the sun is shining bright, it is well. It is well with my soul. Come on, give God some praise. As we stand to our feet, the doors of the church are open.